Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World, a show. Today, I've got a very special program on. I'll be channeling messages from Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, Gregory Peck, Peter Lorre, Ronald Reagan, John Wayne, and others. I was at a famous old hotel here about a month ago, and I sat down to have some homemade apple pie and some homemade ice cream. And who would sit next to me than Humphrey Bogart, of course, in the spirit world. And he said, Ted, I followed your work and I would love to do a show with you. And so we started talking and I said, oh, I'd love to do it with you. And then he brought in all of his friends, his actors and actress friends. They have quite a bit to say. And this show ended up as the result of that wonderful interaction. At any rate, I've got a whole bunch of messages from lots of different actors and actresses for the show today, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Joining me with the show again, as this morning, my co-host, Gail, from Gail of Gaia. She has her own radio show, and I appreciate her so much for helping me share my show today. One of the things I want to start off with, of course, is playing my 528 Hertz tuning fork. This is this is 528 is the frequency of love. And when you hit this tuning fork here with this crystal from Lemuria, you spread love everywhere. So I'm going to go ahead and hit that now. The one there. This is actually the frequency of love, my friends. So I'll do it again. When you think about it. Great. Getting in touch with all these actors and actresses that produce such wonderful movies. It's just such an honor to talk with them now. And the first actor I want to talk with is Humphrey Bogart. And okay, great. If we could show the first image of Humphrey Bogart, Don, that would be great. Sorry I didn't get to you earlier, but that'd be great. He was in World War I, and of course in World War II in the movie industry. There's Humphrey Bogart. This is out of 1940, just a few years before he did Casablanca. As everyone else during the time, World War II, they were very patriotic. And Humphrey was a great guy. I talked to him at length about his service in World War I and service in World War II. And what I'd like to go ahead and do, we've got two short clips I want to play. The first one is Here's Looking at You, Kid, followed by this is the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful friendship to start the program.
Louie, have your man go with Mr. Laszlo and take care of his luggage.
Certainly, Rick. Anything you say. Find Mr. Laszlo's luggage and put it on the plane.
Yes, sir. This way, please.
If you don't mind, you fill in the names. That'll make it even more official.
You think of everything, don't you?
And the names are Mr. and Mrs. Victor Laszlo.
But why my name, Richard?
Because you're getting on that plane.
I don't understand. What about you?
I'm staying here with him till the plane gets safely away.
No, Richard, no. What has happened to you last night?
We said a great many things. You said I was to do the thinking for both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then. It all adds up to one thing. You're getting on that plane with Victor where you belong.
But, Richard, no one...
Now, you've got to listen to me. You have any idea what you'd have to look forward to if you stayed here? 9 chances out of 10, we'd both wind up at a concentration camp. Isn't that true, Louis?
I'm afraid Major Strasser would insist.
You're saying this only to make me go.
I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Yes. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have, we... We lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
When I said I would never leave you.
And you never will. But I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilse, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. No. Is looking at you, kid.
Okay, That's the first segment. And the second segment is a classic one where the Nazi officer shows up at the airport, and you'll see the line here. Yeah, let's go ahead and play that second segment. That'd be great. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
What was the meaning of that phone call? Victor Laszlo is on that plane. Why do you stand here? Why don't you stop him? Ask Monsieur Rick.
Get away from that phone. I would advise you not to interfere.
I was willing to shoot Captain Renault, and I'm willing to shoot you.
Hello.
Put that phone down.
Get me the radio tower.
Put it down.
Major Strasser has been shot.
Round up the usual suspects.
Be my captain.
Well, Rick, you're not only a sentimentalist, but you've become a patriot.
Maybe, but it seemed like a good time to start.
I think perhaps you're right.
It might be a good idea for you to disappear from Casablanca for a while. There's a free French garrison over at Brazzaville. I could be induced to arrange a passage.
My letter of transit? I could use a trip. But it doesn't make any difference about our bet. You still owe me 10,000 francs.
And that 10,000 francs should pay our expenses.
Our expenses?
Mm-hmm.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, that was the time, as I said, when a lot of Americans were very patriotic. This film was released just after we invaded North Africa and to gain the freedom and eventually going into Europe from Italy. And it was just an amazing film. It was done on low production. A lot of films were coming out at the time, and they didn't know whether it would be successful or not, but it was a great film. And this next clip I've got is... It was done when I was near the hotel, this famous hotel, not on the hotel, but near it. And I was interviewing Humphrey Bogart and a lot of other famous actors. So I'm going to play this now. Don, I'm sorry I wasn't able to send this to you. I'm just going to play it on my Zoom recorder so you'll hear it through the microphone. It should be okay.
Hello, friends. This is Ted. I'm at a famous hotel where... Hello, friends. This is Ted. I'm at a famous hotel where many different wonderful movie stars in the 50s, 40s, and 60s stayed here in the Southwest to make movies back, westerns back in the day, and they're still here. I had been traveling across the country, and I stopped here to have some lunch one day a couple months ago, and lo and behold, when I sat down, who came to sit next to me but Humphrey Bogart. And he came in and he asked me if I would do a show with him from this place, and I said I'd love to. But anyway, he's here as well as Doris Day, Lauren Bacall, Ronald Reagan, Gregory Peck, Peter Lorre of all people, and John Wayne. They're all here. And Humphrey's going to come first with his messages. He said that during the time that they made Casablanca, it was actually a low-budget film, he said, that was rushed into production because they wanted to bolster American support for the attack in North Africa. And they did it quickly, too, and there were lots of different movies at the time coming out. And honestly, the producers didn't know whether it would be a success, but it was a huge success. Of course, Casablanca is a famous film. shot during here in the studio here, and it what it was all about, of course, if you've seen the film, it was there was a person fighting the Nazis. He and Ingrid Bergman were fighting the Nazis, and they came to Casablanca to escape to America through Lisbon and the West, and to get away from the Nazi oppression and to fight for freedom for all of Europe, away from the from Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And anyway, it talks about their trials and tribulation. And one of the famous lines, of course, in Humphrey Bogart's in the movie, he said, "Well, here's looking at you, kid." And anyway, Ingrid Bergman just came in now, so I'm going to be talking to her in a few minutes as well. But it's just amazing being able to talk to these wonderful people. They're not dead, they're just on the other side in a different kind of energy form. But Humphrey is saying now that the kind of problems the United States has been having now is we are in a war, he said, and it's not an obvious war. Maybe it's getting obvious to some. I think it's obvious to a lot of people, but for some people, it's not an obvious war because it's coming from within the government. The government itself is fake, he said, and it's an attempt by a foreign power, China, and other members of the cabal to take over this great country, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. They're destroying the economy, destroying our infrastructure, killing off our population with the vaccination program, and but he's quite upset and disappointed too, because he loves America, and all the actors and actresses love America. Doris Day, Lauren Bacall, Ronald Reagan, he'll be here in just a minute, Gregory Peck, Peter Lorre, John Wayne, and you know, they had a strong belief that you know, that as George Washington has told me, you know, that this country was meant, the United States was meant as a beacon for the rest of the world. And now we have people within the government, a fake government, they're all saying that's here to try to destroy this country in a very, very short period of time. And people need to stand up and reclaim their freedoms. They need to reclaim their rights. They need to reclaim their spirit. And the spirit of we should have a second revolution is what they're all saying now, because if we don't stand up for our rights, nobody else is going to, and we'll be enslaved by this dictatorial regime. And it's a fake government. We should be aware that this has been in the plans for many, many years. But Humphrey Bogart is saying now that maybe we should have, he thinks we should have another film called Casablanca 2, where we're fighting against the cabal and the attempts and Biden and the Illuminati to destroy this great country. But they're all here right now, and John Wayne just stepped in, and he stayed at this hotel where I am right now. And Mr. Wayne, John's an incredible guy. He was sort of, yes, everyone knows he was a no-nonsense actor who believed in the United States and, of course, in the Constitution, and especially in the rights of freedom for people to do and express themselves the way they wished and to have a joyful and peaceful life. But he's here as well, and he says that we need to all stand up like he did in his movies for truth and justice and freedom, and there's no excuse for not doing anything right now about this government and what Biden's doing with the shot program and the fake government. Biden is totally illegitimate. There's not one legal justification for him and his henchmen as part of his administration. And people all need to stand up, and we need to have for people to learn to stand up right now, because otherwise we're not going to have any much of a country left. Ronald Reagan is here. He was also in some of these movies in the 50s and 60s, and he was, of course, you know, he was the president of the United States back in the 1980s, and he said that the assassination attempt that was done on him in the early 80s was an attempt to get rid of him and put in George Bush Sr. in to replace him. Unfortunately, after they did shoot him back in the early 80s, that was an explicit threat against his life, so that George Bush Sr. would become the next president following him afterwards to take over the country, and he did. He started with the New World Order, and everybody knows what happened after that. We had the Gulf War back in the early 90s. Clinton came in and perpetuated Monsanto and GMO foods. A lot of people got sick from that, but it's been one thing after the other. We've been in sort of a constant battle, but President Reagan is here, and he's happy to talk to you all today. He said to remain strong. We all have to stand up for our rights and liberties, because if we don't, no one else is going to do it, and we could perish as a country unless we stand up for our rights right now, today. Mr. Reagan said that he loves this country, he loves America, and is all with you, as well as President Kennedy. President Kennedy is here. He and Jackie have been our president and first lady ever since he was assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963. And I talk to him frequently. But he's here, and he says he's sending you his love and love and light to all Americans, all people of the world. We are, if he hadn't been assassinated, of course, back in the 60s, we would be in the fifth dimension right now, and we would be living in a true paradise. We'd have,
I hope my recorder is still running. Let's see here. It looks like, hold on here. No, that might have, that's too bad, I think. Okay, I guess that's it. I thought that the recording was longer than that, but that's okay. All right, good. Well, I hope you like that, my friends. And let me give you an update on that. I've been getting messages from them as we've been speaking all along here. Thanks so much, Don, for saying that. I really appreciate your beautiful support. One of the things that President Reagan just came in and told me now, he said that I don't have the exact quote with me, but he wanted me to mention it to you. He said that, what if this was back like in 86 or 88, I think it was maybe 88. He said, what would the world be like if we had a common enemy, not of this planet? Would we learn to get along at that point? And he was referring, of course, to the influence of the reptilians and the grays, who we knew about very well, because he was familiar with the agreement that was done by President Eisenhower in March of 1954. President Reagan explained to me that Eisenhower signed this agreement with a negative extraterrestrial species called the Greys and the reptilians, that in exchange for their technology to fight the Soviets at the time, that he would allow these two nasty negative alien races to abduct and so-called study us humans. And he said he was forced, Eisenhower himself, so I've talked to President Eisenhower about this before, he said he felt like he was forced into the agreement because these negative ET races threatened to kill many, many, many Americans and many people around the planet if he didn't go along with this agreement. But, you know, he could have gotten help 6 months before the reptilians and the Greys came in March of 54 to try to force him to sign this agreement. The Pleiadians had come. Our brothers, space brothers and sisters, had come. The Pleiadians look just like us, except they're just in a higher vibration. But they're like in the fifth dimension. But they look just like us. And he could have called on them to help, because they had offered 6 months before to help with our spiritual and technological evolution. Except that they wanted us to get rid of all our nuclear weapons. They said that we shouldn't have had nuclear technology on this planet. It was going to destroy us. And we should get rid of all of our weapons, and they would help us. Eisenhower personally liked the Pleiadians. They had good energy, and he liked them. But Richard Nixon did not. He said that Nixon said that he had a lot of friends, medical doctors and people in the pharmaceutical industry, who they would lose money and they'd lose their jobs if everybody was suddenly cured of all their diseases. Now, wouldn't that be something else? Because that's what the Pleiadians had offered him, is a disease-free planet based upon free energy. And there's another whole area of oil companies and their kind wanting to tie us into the oil. And look at the high gas prices now, my friends. All of these, President Reagan is saying that this is just a tool to bring America to its knees. We should have no oil problems in this country at all. Biden is the one, you know, who illegitimately came to power 2 years ago. And one of the first things he did was to stop the Kidder Peabody, the oil pipeline coming in from Canada to the United States, guaranteeing that in a situation like this, they would be able to falsely create an oil shortage, which would drive up the prices. This is exactly what President Reagan is talking about now. And it's all Biden's fault. Absolutely. The cabal has this all planned, everything between food shortages and oil shortages, and they're trying to drive America and the world to its knees. One of the things that Ronald Reagan is just telling me now, he says, you know, if you forget the lessons of history, you're bound to repeat them. That was from Lord Acton, he says, in 19th century England. And in the past, Stalin, when he collectivized the Russian farms in the 1920s and 30s, he intentionally introduced starvation to force the Russian people, to accept communism under him. That was something he did intentionally. Mao Zedong did the same thing after the communists took over China in 1949. He intentionally engaged in a starvation program to force people to accept communism in China. And they're doing it the same playbook fashion right now, right here in the United States, where we used to have a lot more freedoms than we do. The Uvalde shooting, President Reagan, was a false flag event staged by the cabal. There were no, actually, he asked, why don't you see any children in the ambulances? How come there's no blood? That's because that thing was fake and it was falsified. He said, with respect to the police chief of Uvalde, why did he wait 45 minutes before sending in his people, his police officers? That's because the police chief in Uvalde was told it was fake. That's why he hesitated before putting it in. Now, within a couple of weeks, we've got brand new gun legislation restricting our rights to guns in this country in violation of the Second Amendment. And President Reagan saying the whole thing was a total setup. Look how quickly they caved to the cabal and restrict our gun rights when we've got so many other problems. We've got pollution problems, social unrest, high gas prices, a lot of things that where we could devote our energies to fixing. But, you know, why are they so quick to restrict our gun rights under the Second Amendment? And yet they don't seem to care about any other issues. At any rate, he has quite a bit to say. I'm going to go back to Humphrey Bogart now. And he said, I challenged him the other day and he came in. I'm so honored and feel so privileged to talk to him. I really loved his acting. And he's got a beautiful heart, too. He said, quote, I served in World War I and worked in the movie industry during World War II. Our enemies were well known back then, or so we thought. But today's war is different. I know it's a little repetitive, but I'm going to read what he said. Today's war is different because the battle lines are not so obvious, because the enemies are from within. They are our own government and corporations who want to kill us. It's clearly time we take back our country, and there needs to be a second American Revolution. And I agree with him. What they are doing to us Americans and the rest of the world with the SHOP program is far worse in many respects than what the Nazis did in World War II, which we were fighting back then when I was working in the movie industry. This is because of the genetic damage to humanity will last for many generations, with far more people killed and injured than all of the wars in the history of this planet. Imagine that. That's an amazing, profound statement, Mr. Bogart said. The politicians and corrupt leaders, and you know who they are, he said, for this SHOP program will all eventually pay severely for their awful crimes against humanity. It is just a matter of time before everyone wakes up and realizes what they've done so far and what they've been trying to do. So I really want to thank Mr. Bogart for coming in. I will be doing more shows with him in the future. I feel in many ways I'm just kind of kind of touching the surface on what's going on. But anyway, I'll cover as many actors and actresses and their messages as I can now. The next movie star to come in is Gregory Peck. If we could play show his picture too, Don. Thank you so much, my friend. If you could show that would be great. Thanks, my friend. Yeah, let's show Gregory Peck's picture, and then I'll read a little bit and give you his messages as well. Thanks so much. There he is. There's Gregory Peck. Great actor. He's one of the most popular film stars from the 1940s to the 1970s. He's considered one of America's best actors. He had a whole bunch of films. Alfred Hitchcock's Spellbound in 1945. There's a list of about 20 films here. It would take me several hours to go through all of them, but I'm going to cut to the chase and get to one of his political beliefs. In 1983, he starred in The Scarlet and the Black as a World War II movie as a Catholic priest who saved thousands of escaped Allied POWs and Jewish people in Rome during the Second World War, which was based on what really, really happened there. He was active in politics, and he challenged the House Un-American Activities Committee in 1947 and was regarded as a political appointment by President Richard Nixon, of all things, in the early 70s. President Johnson honored him, Gregory Peck, with a Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1969 for his lifetime humanitarian efforts. And he passed away at the age of 87, I believe, I've got to look at the right date here, in 2003. And he said that the kind of injustices happening right now in the United States should be troubling to everyone here because they're trying to take away our Constitution. We're not talking about only the Second Amendment, but rather freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of the press, First Amendment rights. I mean, look at the censorship, he's saying, in the media and social media nowadays. There's actually very few media outlets like my show and Gail's show and other light workers' show where we speak the truth. We try to speak the truth and we're not controlled by anybody. But back in his day, there was far more freedom of the press, far more freedom of speech. People weren't clamped down like they are now, but they tried. You know, they called it a war against communism, which we look back, we think it's kind of ridiculous now, but that's true. They were trying to shut down. They're using the same, they're not really, I don't know what justification they can give, but I mean, look at some of these social media outlets. They'll ban you. They'll cut your channel. They'll strike your post. What, for speaking the truth? Where in the Constitution can they do that? They needed a good lawsuit. And I have to, he's saying, you know, he does like our current Supreme Court. They're doing a lot of good work. He likes their support of the Second Amendment. There's a reason why Gregory Peck said that we had the Second Amendment. That's because of the tyranny of King George back when the country was founded back in 1776. Because we needed a balance against corrupt government, and we've got a terribly corrupt government nowadays. And Biden's fake. Everything he does is fake. Why does anybody pay attention to him? I have no idea. But it's a government like that of CNN, where if something says on the news, people are supposed to believe it. I don't think so. But Gregory Peck's a great man, and I did talk to him at length about his political views. And he's very concerned that we're entering into a possible time of fascism. We will lose our rights here in this great country. And unfortunately, there are still some Americans out there and other people around the world who are asleep. And I think they get lulled sometimes maybe in this false sense of complacency. Maybe they watch too much cabal news. You know what? Ronald Reagan said, now he's stepped in again. He said during World War II, Stalin really admired Hitler in some ways, even though they were enemies. He reminded his work on perpetuating the big lie, because Hitler said, if you say a lie loud enough and long enough, people will believe it. Okay, and we got plenty of examples today. What did the big pharma companies, according to President Reagan, say a couple of years ago or last year? They said that this vaccine was safe and effective. How many times did we hear that? Safe and effective. Okay, now we're finding out that mortality rate for mothers, pregnant mothers in the United States who take the shot, the COVID shot, 84 to 97% of all their births are stillborn. The babies are DEA dead. They're absolutely dead. Thanks, Pfizer, for killing off our people here in the United States and other countries. And those are government, even the corrupt government in the United States, those are those figures out of the VAERS, the civilian VAERS system. I mean, what more do you need? What more evidence do you need? There was actually a bunch of hackers who broke into the databases of Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Here it was about 3 or 4 months ago. And they broke into their databases, and then they published their information from these big pharma companies on a site called www.howbadismybatch.com. Howbadismybatch.com. And it turned out that there were three levels of death with the shots. The first level of death, where people die within 10 to 14 days from a heart attack or stroke. The second, if you manage to go through that first 14 days, and if you live, you might live for another 5 or 6 months. Isn't that great? They let us live 5 or 6 months, and then people die of cancer, of HIV, AIDS, of heart attacks, of strokes, you name it. Now, if you manage to go through that second level, then you might live for 1.5 to 2 years. And if you do live that long, it's the shot program itself is programmed to have HIV, AIDS, as well as mad cow disease. Isn't that a wonderful future that Biden wants for us? And now Biden has implemented a program for little children down to 4 or 6 months old. The FDA, the corrupt government in the United States, the FDA, who doesn't represent the American people, now are basically saying it's okay to kill your children with these shots. Very few people live from these shots. Most people die. And so at any rate, Jimmy Stewart had quite a bit to say about that. He was an American actor, military pilot. He was his film career spanned 80 films from 1935 to 1991. A great man. Could we show his picture, if that's okay? Don, thanks, my friend, for Jimmy Stewart. That would be great. Okay, we don't have the picture. Really? Oh, no, it disappeared on me. Okay, well, thanks so much, Don. Yeah, I don't know what happened to it, but it disappeared. At any rate, a licensed pilot, he enlisted in the, Stewart enlisted in the Army Air Force after the U.S. entered the Second World War in 1941. He came to rank of colonel and received several awards for his service. President Reagan appointed Jimmy Stewart to the rank of Major General in 1985. And he was, there's quite a bit here. Let me look at this here. I should send you this. There was one more link I should send you. Let me do that quickly. There he is. Thank you. Perfect. Thanks, Don. I really appreciate it. I know I give you a lot of work to do, and I appreciate it, my friend. Okay. This one is a fascinating little clip. It's called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And the reason why this clip, I think, is significant, and it illustrates his patriotism, is that he himself was very concerned about the future of the United States. And he said that we had the potential to lose all of our democracy if we weren't careful. And so what I want to do is to play this little clip. There we go.
I guess this is just another lost cause, Mr. Payne. All you people don't know about lost causes. Mr. Payne does. He said once they were the only causes worth fighting for. And he fought for them once. For the only reason any man ever fights for them.
Because of just one plain, simple rule. Love thy neighbor. And in this world today, full of hatred, a man who knows that one rule has a great trust. You know that rule, Mr. Payne. And I loved you for it just as my father did. And you know that you fight for the lost causes harder than for any others. Yes, you even die for them. Like a man we both knew, Mr. Payne. You think I'm licked. You all think I'm licked. Well, I'm not licked. And I'm going to stay right here and fight for this lost cause. Even if this room gets filled with lies like these. And the tailors and all their armies come marching into this place. Somebody will listen to me.
Wasn't that good? And that was back in a time when we actually, I think we had some people in Congress who actually listened to the American people. We don't have many today. I'm sure we have some. Here, give me a couple of years and I'll start to find one person in Congress who actually cares about the American people. But I mean, it sounds sarcastic, but Jimmy, Mr. Stewart, I really want to thank him for coming in. He's going to have a lot more to say. There's a second little bit of a kind of a fun thing I want to play, and I hope this works. I sent you the link there. It's the film in 1956, The Man Who Knew Too Much. Okay, if we could play that as well, that'd be great.
Jimmy Stewart is the man who knew too much.
If you tell even one word of what Wibernagh whispered to you in the marketplace, your little boy will be in serious danger.
Murder is no way to start a vacation. One of the screen's most thrilling suspense tales. The Man Who Knew Too Much.
I can explain a little bit about the film. It was staged, I think, in London, where he was on vacation. And his little boy saw a murder being committed in this London theater. And so the film was about the man who knew too much. And I'm kidding you not. I'm trying to maintain a straight face when I say this, but he's got a sense of humor. And he said, the man, today's Biden is the man who knows too little to be president of this great country and so-called leader of the so-called free world. So this Biden is actually the man who knows too little. Did you hear this? This is a true thing. Came out a couple days ago. Biden now has invented the presidential yo-yo and the presidential plastic ducks, Daffy Ducks, where he plays during news conferences. You'll see him now playing the presidential yo-yo and playing with his little Daffy Duck toy. This will keep him occupied. It'll help keep him from falling asleep. And it really instills confidence for me in his government. But anyway, I'm just kidding about the yo-yos and the Daffy Ducks. But I mean, it's gotten that bad. Let's see. Okay, here's our next actor who's come in, John Wayne. I'm sure everyone knows about him. Lived from 1907 to 1979. His real name was Marion Robert Morrison. He was born in Iowa, came out to, oh good, thank you so much. There's John Wayne. And his career flourished during the silent era of the 1920s. And he appeared in a total of 179 film and television productions. In 1999, the American Film Institute selected John Wayne as one of the highest male stars of the American classic American cinema. He had all kinds of different roles. He appeared mostly in small parts to start off. And his first leading role came in a Western called The Big Trail in 1930. Other Westerns included A Cattleman Driving His Land. Let's see here. He started as an ancient gunfighter. In 1979, before succumbing to stomach cancer 2 months later, he was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Jimmy Carter. And good for him. Mr. Wayne is saying, quote, I channeled this earlier, quote, if I was alive today, I would organize a party to storm the Capitol and take back this great country. People have already been suffering too much under the fake regime of Biden, and the Americans, and we Americans deserve better than what we have today, a criminal federal government that's been taken over. All of us want our country and our world back. This nonsense has gone on long enough. And as you've noticed, in his movies, he was a no-nonsense guy, cutting to the chase. And we actually need some of that today. I'm not advocating violence, but I am advocating that we do work as hard as we can to take this government back, because we're not getting help from other sectors of society. It's because we're kind of left on our own. I like President Trump. I know he's done a lot of good work, but I don't know. I don't know why things are taking so long and why the country is getting destroyed. But I want to thank John Wayne for coming on today and sharing his thoughts. I will be bringing him on again in the future in another program, but thank you so much for sharing that. The next actress I'd like to bring on is Katharine Hepburn. Amazing lady. She came to me when I was talking to the other actors and actresses yesterday. But if we could show her picture as well. Thanks, Don. This is Katharine Hepburn, amazing lady. She lived from 1907 to 2003. She was an American film actress, a famous actress of film, stage, and television. She appeared in over 60. Her career lasted over 60 years. And in 1999, she was named the greatest female actor by the American Film Institute. Let me see here. There's quite a bit here. I'm trying to summarize things. She shunned Hollywood publicity, the Hollywood publicity machine, and refused to confirm society's expectations of women. Famously wearing trousers before they became fashionable for women. She was briefly married as a young woman, but therefore lived independently. Hepburn epitomized the modern woman of the 20th century and is remembered as an important cultural figure. And her message today, and I thought this was interesting, and she has more to say, women have to stand up to the wicked men of the cabal who are ruining this country and this beautiful world. Isn't that interesting? She said that men have ruled this world long enough, and it's time for women now to take their place in shepherding the world into the ascension. It's very interesting. She said, if you ever go to a spiritual fair, a metaphysical fair, most of the people there are women. Nothing against men. It's just that most of the people there are women, and they. She says that both men and women need to awaken that divine feminine within them, so that we can have a balanced planet. She said one of the problems with Atlantis is that it was imbalanced in terms of male energy and turned to be very warlike and ended up destroying much of the world. That's what needs to be done, is to balance the male and female. It's not only applies to women, but men too, because the male and female parts are within all of us, and that divine feminine energy needs to be added for all of us. But she's a wonderful lady and a wonderful actress, and I'm so happy to bring her on briefly. I'll be having another show with her in the future. Yeah, go ahead, Gail.
She reminds me of the female version of John Wayne, a no-nonsense woman.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Hey, if you've got comments, just feel free to butt in. Sometimes I get lost in thought and I keep going. So just come on in and talk. Yeah.
I love that woman. I thought she was great.
Actually,
I always liked her attitude.
They're two sides of the same coin. Katharine Hepburn, the strong strong woman leading, fighting the fight against justice, and John Wayne too, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, regardless of how you feel about them and what your political beliefs are, they were icons of the last century, and we need some of that now. You know, George Washington is here now, and he said, look, we didn't work as hard as we did to create the United States, to have it only destroyed by a bunch of ruthless thugs and criminals now in the White House, and God knows where else, the cabal trying to tear down this great country and the world, enslave us all for nothing. What, to be their slaves? One of the things he's very upset. There was a Klaus Schwab where he says that you will own nothing and be happy. Uh-huh, right. Yeah, there's a good propaganda piece. So you're going to lose all your wealth. You're going to lose all your whatever you've had in your life. You're going to lose all that, and you'll be worker bees, slaves for the cabal elite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real good one.
I would like to say to him, you will be in prison, and you will enjoy it.
Well, that's, yeah. Hey, 3 square meals a day. You'll meet people. If we went to prison, he'd meet people he'd never forget. I'm sure he'd have relationships he'd probably never dream about. And, but their time is coming, but we have to, like the Pleiadians were saying earlier on my show, with Larkma, is that we're boots on the ground here. It's up to us to change this crazy situation. Because if we don't, it's just going to get worse, my friends. I will be bringing on him again in the future. Now for a little comedy. Don, if we could show the picture of the Marx Brothers, that would be great. Thank you. Now we've got, they came to me over the weekend. They're funny guys. Just look at them as laughter. There were, the core of the act was 3 elder brothers. There was Chico, Harpo, and Groucho. They were part of the American Family Comedy from 1905 to 1949, and they had 13 feature films, and just a great. I'd love to play a clip from them. Would be so great. Maybe if I can find one before we go off the air, that would be good. But I wanted to play this or give you their message about what's going on today. He said that we love to make people laugh, but what's happening today is no laughing matter, as this once great country is slowly but surely destroyed by a negative group of people born both within the United States and outside the country. We need to take our country back before the U.S. and the world becomes a big, sad joke. That's from the Marx Brothers. And they were some of the greatest comedians in history from the last century. And they weren't, you know, if you watch their old comedy films, none of them, they didn't have any sex or violence. They were slapstick comedy kinds of things, but they were very funny, you know, and they raised the vibrations of a whole generation, many generations.
I haven't seen them for a very long time, and I still remember Groucho Marx with the cigar going around.
Well, yeah, you can see him. You can see him in the and the mustache is what, about 2 inches long,
yeah.
Thick. It's like. Now, one of the useful things you can do if you're a guy and you got a mustache that long, you can filter out things in your soup you don't want, you know. So it's very, 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 very useful. But they're so much fun to see. I'm going to try to find a good clip for them if we have a few minutes here. The next spirit to come through was Ronald Reagan. He lived from 1911 to 1904. Sorry, 1904. No, 2004 is only off 100 years. But he served as the president of the Screen Actors Guild from 1947 to 1952. He of course was governor of California back in the 60s. Back in the 60s. Let's see here. I'm kind of summarizing everything. He called the Soviet Union an evil empire in June of 1987. And he gave a speech in June of 1987 at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. And during that speech, he described the Soviet Union as an evil empire and challenged Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall. And Gorbachev listened. And 3 years later, the Soviet Union disbanded as a country and gave freedom back to its people. Some people say today that the Russians under Putin now have more freedom than we do here in the United States. You know, I mean, Putin has outlawed all GMO food. Within Russia, you can't buy GMO corn, GMO soybeans. The food's all healthy, unlike the United States.
We're going to end up importing organic food from Russia.
Right. That's right. We are. And I don't know how you feel about Ukraine, but the cabal-controlled media says that the Ukraine is an attempt by Putin and the Russians to take over Ukraine and start a world war. Nothing further than the truth. That is total lies. What's happening is that thanks to Putin, he's gone in and cleaned up the bioweapon labs which we American paid through Fauci and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama to create these monstrous weapons of mass destruction in the Ukraine, and they were going to probably use it on Europe and Russia later. So that's what Putin's doing. He's cleaning it up. My guides say that we should be able to. He should be out of there in the next couple of months. I don't know if you remember this or not, but I've got my notes here on it. It was back in 1987, 88. Ronald Reagan said, "What would the world be like if we had a common area, a common enemy, not of this planet?" He said that quote. And so think about it. He knew about the alien threat posed by the reptilians and the greys. He knew about what they had done, killed a lot of people, abducted a lot of Americans, abducted a lot of people around this planet, and he looked at them as a threat. And he asked that question. If you look up on Google, you can find it. So he knew quite a bit, and he said that there's still a threat now. And actually, the war that's going on right now, President Reagan says, it's the war of the minds for freedom. And as really, if you go to the very top and you look behind, if you look behind the curtain, he says, like the Wizard of Oz, there are very dark negative entities behind all of that, but a lot of them aren't even human. they're the reptiles, they're the grays, allied with people like Bill Gates and the negative forces trying to destroy and take over this planet. It's not so much a human battle as much as it is a battle of the mind and a battle of information. That's why independent media like my show and Gail's show and all of us light workers trying to spread the truth about what's going on, and P. and Cullen earlier on my show. That's why I think these programs are so important, because where else are you going to find the truth? You know, nobody controls me. Nobody controls Gail. Nobody controls Pia and Cullen who give messages from the LARCMA. I just give out the truth. That's an attempt to raise consciousness. I've been doing this now since November 2013, or for almost nine years now. And I put my heart and soul into this work, because I sincerely want to make this world a better place and help people with the ascension.
And I'm right there with you, Ted. I bring people on my shows that I hope will help people in some way.
Sure, right. That's right. That's right. And as President Kennedy has told me many times, we're all one. We all have the spark of the God within us. And we have to remember that, so that if you hit someone or attack someone, really you're attacking yourself, because if we all have that God link within us, why would you ever do that? Our next guest coming in is Spencer Tracy. So if we could, he's got some really interesting comments to make as well. Don, if we could show his picture as well. I hope you got it okay, my friend. That's great. Great, thanks. Handsome guy. He was, he just said thanks. He was, he lived from 1900 to 1967. He was known for his natural performing style and versatility. He was one of the major stars of Hollywood's golden age. And he won two consecutive Academy Awards for the best actor from nine different nominations. He discovered his talent for acting while attending Ripon College, and later received a scholarship from the American Academy of Dramatic Art. He spent 37 years there, and then his breakthrough came in 1930 when he had a performance called The Last Mile, caught the attention of Hollywood. And he starred with Humphrey Bogart in various films. It's got a long history, amazing history. During his career, he appeared in 75 films, including his film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in 1967. He wants to give some messages on that.
That was a great film. My grandmother took me to see that, and I'll never forget it. I was 14 at the time.
Okay.
Wow. And it certainly had great impact as far as Not being a racist,
yeah. Well, he's going to talk about that in a moment. He said that it was finished. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in 1967 was completed just 17 days before he died. And the message from Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was the beginning of the end of racial inequality in America and in the world. Of course, it was Sidney Poitier, I believe his name was a black man who was dating a white woman, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was highlighted in the film. But it was a lesson for everyone that we are all one, and in spite of any racial, cultural, or language differences, we are all the protege of God.
Yes.
Isn't that profound? And he sees that now from the other side. When you pass over, many spirits have told me the same thing, that you have access to universal knowledge. And also, too, you go through what's called these life reviews, where you not only review your life and what everything you've done, said, or thought, but also you look at the world in terms of how people viewed you and what you did as in that background. So it's a fascinating experience. But he was saying that actually John F. Kennedy has come in now. He's been with us today. And he said that once we realize that we are all equal, with everyone having the spark of God or the supreme being within us, we will stop fighting among ourselves and create a world of true peace and harmony. And one thing that Spencer Tracy is saying now, you know, so-called Antifa, so-called Black Lives Matter, all they are criminal thugs trying to blow up America, kill as many people as possible. I know in the town that I grew up in, Olympia, Washington, late last year, there's thugs from Antifa, and they would often murder people on the open street. And the mayor of Olympia, who's a Democrat, told the police to stand down, not arrest anyone. So people are killed. The place still isn't safe. Is that the kind of America we want? Do we want cities like that? How about in Seattle, where over 200 businesses have left during the last couple of years under the leadership of the, I'm not blaming Democrats, but they are Democrats, Democratic Mayor Jenny Durkin. And most of the town now looks like a scene from 1966 Beirut, where it's all like bombed out. Everything's plywood boards over the different businesses. If you went back 3 years ago, you'd have a great place, lots of family restaurants, businesses there. Now it's all boarded up. Is this the kind of America we want? Really? I mean, give me a break. I can't see why anybody in their right mind would like that, but they're thugs. They're thugs. Ronald Reagan has stepped in now. He said they're thugs like the Nazis of the 30s, trying to impose their will upon the rest of America. So I don't have time for that. I don't think most Americans have time for that. And Gail, why don't you add your thoughts? I'm going to look for a funny clip to show from the Marx Brothers. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just so concerned about, I've seen so much change in, you know, my own lifetime,
right?
You know, from, you know, chemtrails in the sky, fluoridated water. So many things have been put out there to poison people. And it's been so difficult to wake people up. And I'm very concerned, but I do believe we will come out of it, but we need more people to stand up. And that is, I mean, stand up for your rights. We don't want the kind of life that they have in mind for us.
Right, right. I think people are waking up, actually.
I do, too.
I really do.
It's improved substantially, I'd say, just not too far long ago, really. I mean, it just seems like it's happening faster and faster all the time. And, and that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we are ascending right now. And by end of August or September, we will shift into the fourth dimension. And 2 years later, we will shift into the fifth dimension. So that's what we're doing. I mean, there's really nothing that the negatives can do is to cause us more problems and try to stop us from ascending, but they're not going to do it. And I know that. So it's, I want everyone to realize that we are winning and we are powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier planet. And so what you think you can create, with your mind. And so I want everyone to try to be as positive as possible. You know, when you think about the future and know that, we are getting a lot of help.
And it's one thing to be aware of negative things that are happening. It's quite another to dwell on them.
Right.
Because what we focus on is what we get, and we need to focus on positive things.
Right. Right.
That forward.
Right. Right. I've got a funny clip I'd like to play from the Marx Brothers, and then just do that now here. Okay, let me play that.
Let me put this. Some other lost cause, Mr. Ray.
There we go.
You people don't know about lost causes. Mr. Payne does. He said once they were the only causes worth fighting for. And he fought for them once. For the only reason any man ever fights for them. Because of just one plain simple rule. World today full of hatred, a man who knows that one rule has a great trust. You know that rule, Mr. Payne. And I loved you for it just as my father did. You know that you fight for the lost causes harder than for any others. Yes, you even die for them. Like a man we both know, Mr. Payne. You think I'm late? You all think I'm late. Well, I'm not late. And I'm going to stay right here and fight for this lost cause. Even if this room gets filled with lies like these. And the tailors and all their armies come marching into this place. Somebody will listen to me.
Okay, that was Jimmy Stewart. We have a little to wrap up the show on a lighter note.
You had to be scared. You know, three managers before you died from eating poison food.
This food doesn't look any more poison than any other hotel food. Give me.
Oh, no, boss. Look, you got to have somebody to test the food. What do you need is a guinea pig.
You eat the guinea pig. I'll stick to this. Give me
my. I don't mean a real guinea pig. I mean a human guinea pig.
I don't want to eat any kind of a guinea pig. I want my meal.
Nah, there's a human guinea pig.
He looks like a pig, but he doesn't look human. That food doesn't seem to be poisoned.
Yeah, you can't tell. It hasn't reached his stomach yet.
That's the seal of good housekeeping. Hey, what is this, a steak race? Now, see here, you guys. Give me back my lunch.
Oh, no, you make a mistake.
That's a mistake, and I want it.
Hey,
come on.
Hey, Russ, you want to give him a little something?
No, thanks. They give me a heartburn. I just wanted to take a little shot, that's all.
That's a long cork.
Hey, you cheap crook, that bottle's empty.
That's dry champagne.
Well, oh, no, you don't. You want to get poisoned?
Well, I'm not sure that I'd mind anymore. Who's he talking to?
Salt Lake City.
Couldn't spare just a little sip of that, huh? Well, if the coffee doesn't keep him awake, the cup and saucer will.
Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed that. This Monday will be an interesting show here on BBS, starting at 12 noon Pacific time. I will be channeling Jesus. I had a spiritual experience recently where I was in a local church, and they had this beautiful statue of Jesus. This hasn't happened before. And I looked up in his eyes, and the statue became alive, and I could tell he was looking at my eyes as well. And suddenly, he filled my heart with compassion and love. True story. And it's changed me for the better. And I've been in contact with him ever since. I was before, but not in this as strong as it is now. And he wanted to give some uplifting messages about the Ascension for Humanity this Monday. I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing show, and I hope you all can listen. It's my German show, so it'll be translated into German and English. So whether you live in the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, or speak German in Germany, Austria, or Switzerland, you'll be able to understand it because of the simultaneous translation. Jesus was here course, 2,000 years ago, and he was part of what's called the 2,000-year ascension cycle. There are actually three different ascension cycles now happening all at once on this planet. The first and foremost ascension cycle is because of the position of planet Earth in this solar system as it goes around the central sun of this galaxy. And every 25,800 years, the planet this planet in this solar system goes around the central sun of this galaxy, and it's called the Mayans called it the Ketun cycle. It's a major ascension cycle. And there's a second cycle where it's every 2,000 years, where you get spiritual figures like Jesus who come in. And so then you get a third ascension cycle, which happens every 100 years. And it's no accident that we had the Roaring Twenties in the United States and elsewhere as a time for intense cultural and spiritual evolution, revolution. And so we're seeing that again today. And Jesus was part of that. He was sent down he came down to this planet in an attempt to raise the consciousness of this planet for the ascension. But in some respects, he says it was a bit early. He had many, many important messages to give people, including the message to go within. And that's why meditation can be so important, that all the answers lie within. Not only when he said within, he meant your heart, mind. That's why he urges people to think within their heart mind. Whenever you have an issue or problem, you always want to think within your heart mind for the solutions. But we'll be talking about that on Monday, and you're welcome to submit questions to him as well. It'll be a live interview. I am going to be speaking to him tonight and tomorrow to prepare for the show. But if you've got questions, feel free to send them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can send them to me at outofthisworldradio@protonmail.com. I'll be happy to answer them, time permitting, on the show. It's always so much fun to talk to you, all of you today. With today's show, we had about 146 million listeners in over 100 countries. That's a 10 million jump from a week ago. And I want to thank everyone so much for your beautiful support. One of the things that all of the spirits now are saying, Humphrey Bogart, Jimmy Stewart, Ronald Reagan and all these other, the great spirits, and George Washington, they all realize it's a tough time for many Americans and people around the world. But you have to be positive. Remember that there's a lot at stake here, but we have won the war against the negatives. And these are battles that are now playing out. One of the things you can do to help you and your family, if you want to improve the planet, is to kill your TV set.
I know somebody who shot his TV set with a gun.
What? Really? What happened?
Seriously.
What?
It just, you know, I asked him if it exploded. He said no. But it's a dead TV, for sure.
It's a dead TV. But I don't think television sets are considered living beings. So you couldn't be charged with murder.
No.
Yeah. You couldn't be charged with murder. But at any rate, you know, and you've got to remember, even, you know, the media itself, is controlled, and they do it in such a way to control people. Televisions, the images on television sets are radiating about 60 hertz per second, and that's below the subconscious, the level of consciousness where you recognize, you can discern what's coming in. So if you just sit there and watch the boob tube all day, what happens is that you get programmed for ideas coming from the cabal, big pharma, whatever. And it goes into your mind, and you don't have any discernment regarding what the truth of it is. A lot of people get brainwashed into doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't do. But I know we're getting through this, and within a couple of months, my friends, we will be shifting into the fourth dimension by the end of August, early September, and then a little more than 2 years after that, we'll be shifting into the fifth dimension. That's going to be an amazing time. One of the most amazing places on planet Earth is Mount Shasta. And that place now is shifting into the, it's already, I think it's in fifth. Shasta's in fifth.
Really? Already?
Yeah, close to fifth. Yeah, it's close to fifth, if not. I know it's been in fourth for a long time. And you feel it there because you feel like you're kind of floating around when you're there. Now, the negatives have tried to destroy Mount Shasta. They've been spraying chemtrails and aluminum into the air of the Mount Shasta area for at least 5 years or more.
Wow.
And people have taken air samples and soil samples and samples of trees around the Mount Shasta area, sent them into laboratories, and found out that the rate of aluminum particles in the air and in the soil is thousands of times higher than what it should be. And what they do with the aluminum, they basically are trying to give humans Alzheimer's disease, as well as making the forest around the Shasta area very susceptible to fires. Because if you've got a tree covered in nanoparticles from the aluminum, it makes it much easier to light. And also, the trees themselves burn much faster and much hotter as well. That was a big issue the last couple of years when the negatives were intentionally burning up much of California. What Biden did, the fake president a year ago did, he shut down all campgrounds, all camping in Northern California from Sacramento north to the Oregon border, then west to the Pacific Ocean and east to the Nevada border, a huge area, because there was a lot of spiritual activity there, a lot of people having different conferences and whatnot. But of course, the negatives and the negative entities and the reptilians who were behind Biden didn't want that activity going on, so we shut down all these areas. But we persevered. You know, I'll be out there soon, and if you want more information about my trips, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or outofthisworldradio@protonmail.com. You have something to say? Yeah.
I just wanted to add, if people would look up Gale of Gaia Free Range, either I'm on YouTube, I'm on BitChute, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Odyssey and Rumble, and I interview people that are putting the truth forward, and that will help you
absolutely
and to learn how to go within and all
good.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I think we're going to look back at this time in human history in years to come, and your children and your children's children are going to ask you, Mommy and Daddy, what were you doing during the Ascension? And you so think about that, because it is coming. And a lot of kids being born today and in the future, in the near future, are star children. They've come in from other planets. I don't think you're from this Earth.
I think
you're Pleiadian, actually. But I know I'm from the Pleiades. Yeah. But anyway, a lot of people are not from this planet. They're in from other civilizations. And they've come here to help with the Ascension and also to witness it as well. I want to tell everyone that it's not a right to be here right now. It's a privilege, because there were lots of different benevolent spirits and who wanted to be part of this human evolution right now, but they there weren't enough bodies for people to come in, so they're watching. Of all the planets in the universe, in this universe, Earth is the most exciting place to be now. You know, it really is. It's there's so much going on. Of course, some of it's negative, but the positive things happening right now are far more than the negative things happening.
And what they always say, nothing can stop what is coming. And it's coming, and it's all good.
Or
as we get through
right.
some of the bad.
Right, right. Or as Data would say on Star Trek, resistance is futile. So I think it is futile. It is futile. They can't stop it. There's nothing they can do to stop our evolution and turning into a beautiful and happy planet. And I think as the days and the weeks and the months go on, roll by this year and next year, we're going to look back on this period and be proud. We need a pat on the back, because you see, back in the late 80s, Nostradamus, spoke to him about this. He forecasted that the U.S. would have a nuclear war. Many American cities would be blown up by the year 2005, but we would make it through and we would shift into the fifth dimension by 2038. Well, this last time I checked, all American cities there's no American cities that have been blown up by any nuclear weapons. We haven't had a third nuclear war, and we are shifting now and into the fifth dimension. We started that process, and the year is 2022. So we are, according to the old timelines, we are 16 years ahead of schedule, and we have to thank ourselves for that. And it's coming a lot faster than people thought it would be. But we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And I encourage everyone to try to visualize the kind of society that you want. rather than that's kind of society that's being forced down you, and stand up to government or corporations that want you to take the shot or throw your freedoms away, because we're powerful spiritual beings, and we can if we all work together, we can make this world a better place. Mahatma Gandhi threw out the British in 1947, and he was one person using nonviolence to stop the British Empire from enslaving the beautiful Indian people. And he was successful, too.
And what that reminded me is I thought of Nancy Reagan. Just say no.
Yeah, that's what she said back in the 80s to premarital sex for young people. They said, so kids, don't have sex. Just say no.
Or drugs, too.
Yeah, drugs. Too. Yeah, no drugs. Yeah, just say no. But in a way, it does make sense, because all power lies within you, within your heart. And if we all rise up and stand together, there's nothing that they can do to stop us. I've said this, I've mentioned this experiment before, but in June of 1942, the Nazis, of course, controlled Denmark. And there were school teachers, then they wanted all the school teachers in Denmark to teach Nazi doctrine to the little school children. Every single teacher stood up to the Nazis and said, no, we're not going to do that. And you know what? The Nazis never were able to teach Nazi doctrine to school children in Denmark, and they gave up. And not one school teacher went to a concentration camp. They were successful. That's because everyone stood up at the same time. If we stand all up to Biden and all this nonsense that he's trying to do at once against him, all of his policies in the cabal, they will all fail. Look what the wonderful Canadian truckers did up in Canada in the spring. You know, they nearly brought down the Trudeau government. I don't think he's been able to force people to do all these shot requirements like he tried. And furthermore, it inspired people across the world to stand up. In the United States as well, they had a truckers protest.
Went to Washington. That? Do you have any information on that?
The last time I heard, well, for one thing, it wasn't covered by the cabal media. I should get somebody on to talk about it. But they did meet with Congress and members of Congress, and I think it did have an effect. I know in Washington State, where I live, the Democratic governor, Inslee, got nervous about what could happen because he saw what happened in Canada. So then that's when Inslee, the Democratic governor in Washington State, started pulling back on some of the mandates that he had legally issued. It's interesting now, in the last month, the newspapers came out, the media said that he's gotten COVID, now has gone into isolation. Usually, my friends, when there's a story like that in the mainstream press, it means that they've been arrested.
Yes.
And they're on their way to Gitmo for a possible trial and a possible execution. So that's why you don't see Governor Inslee anymore in Washington State, because the guy's in prison somewhere on his either, he's probably at Gitmo right now. And but that's what the code word is, according to my sources.
What about the governor of Oregon? She was just as bad, if I recall. Is that Brown?
Yeah, Brown. I don't know too much about her. Newsom actually took the third booster shot in early January of this year. And right after that, his doctor, he was supposed to get a placebo, but the doctor hated him and gave him the real shot. And so within a day, he had Guillain-Barre disease, where he was completely paralyzed. And what happened then is that he was arrested by the U.S. Marines and brought to Gitmo under charges. And from my sources, credible sources, he was executed for crimes against humanity and for pedophilia. Yes. And in January 26th, 2022. So he's dead. But no sooner than that came out, than Hollywood cabal was looking for an actor to replace him. They were openly advertising in Hollywood for a body double, and they found one. And so now we've got a Newsom who's got slightly darker hair, whiter facial features, slightly darker complexion, the hairline is probably slightly back. So we've got this guy now parading around as the Governor Newsom. So, you know, what can you say?
I just feel like the one of the biggest things that needs to happen is the mass media needs to be taken down or to be taken over.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah.
Because they continue to lie to the people.
Right.
And hoodwink the people.
Right.
And unfortunately, not everybody does research like we would like them to do.
Right.
But they're tired from working all day, so I can understand their...
Yeah, people get into a hamster trap. You know, we're constantly on the cycle. But one thing, you know, here's an idea, Don and Doug, for your own show. Maybe when CNN is taken over by the good guys and forced to tell the truth, maybe you could move your studios to the CNN Center in Atlanta and broadcast from there. Man, that's just an idea. I don't know. So I don't know if it'd be possible or not. But I want everyone to have a beautiful and happy day. If you have any questions for any of the actors or actresses, Humphrey Bogart and other friends today, please send them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I will be channeling Jesus live on my show on Monday as a result of my spiritual experience I had recently. And so I hope you all can listen to that. That'll be in BBS Radio 1. And thanks so much, Gail, for coming on today and joining me on these shows. It's been a lot of fun.
I didn't say much, but that's okay.
No, it's been great to have your help. Usually I carry it on my own, but it's nice to have you here. And well, I want to thank Don and Doug for their fantastic help. And looks like anyway, I couldn't do it without their help. And believe me, my friends, within 6 months things are going to be much better. Within a year, they're going to be much better than now. There is a message I've gotten, repeated message from the Pleiadians, that October 22nd. Is going to be a day that many people will be very happy with. It could be the release of the medbeds. I don't know. But I do know the medbeds are coming. No matter what age you are, if you want to age regress yourself and go back to 29 and start another family, you can do that with the medbeds. And it's technology that's been in the pocket of the in the cabal in the secret space program for decades. We paid for it. You know,
really?
Your tax dollars paid for it, but you
haven't been able to use it.
We can't use it. You know, we're just like the slave worker bees doing it for
them. I heard
the
middle of July, but again, that's just hearsay.
Right.
So I can't, you know, deny or confirm.
Well, I've heard a lot of things happening as far as like what's happening with the med beds. And so I think it's going to be, they are coming, and it's something that's, it will be, it's almost here. I think it's
almost
here. And
it'll be free. There's some scams going on out there too. They said you want to make an appointment for the med bed and you sign up for it and they'll send you a message back say, oh, to register, we need $300.
Okay. Well, just be careful. Yeah. You know, we're still 3D and you still get people out there who's going to take advantage of that. So, anyway, but we can keep talking. So anyway, but
we still have time.
We have time. Yeah, we can go for another 20 minutes easy.
Oh, wow.
So if you want. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else is relevant.
Well, we've covered a lot of topics today. Anyway, Don, we can wrap up today's show anytime you like, my friend, but at any rate, I know he's probably busy, getting other shows. But when I started this program back in 2013, okay, thank you, my friend. We'll talk a few more minutes. Thanks, Don. The angels told me that they wanted me to start this show and to start writing books, and so I've been following their advice ever since. Everyone has guardian angels who help them, and if you just have to ask for help, it's a free will planet. And everyone has a purpose here and if you're feeling a little lost or need some guidance, feel free to call me or just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm happy to help. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to the other side. And we're all meant for a purpose. The thing is that when you reincarnate on this planet, you're completely in the dark because every spirit here has amnesia. You forget everything.
Yeah. Our memories are wiped.
Memories are wiped. So it took me 45 or 50 odd years to realize what my purpose is here. But once I did, then life becomes a lot easier. Everyone has a purpose here. And before you reincarnate on this planet, you sit around with your guides and supreme being or God, if you will, and you figure out what you want to learn. And what situations you want to be with certain people, And then there's a certain amount of free will built into that too, if you want to change directions, evolve different directions. But that's what I know about life plans before you come into this planet. Mm-hmm. And for some people who've taken the SHOT program, they contracted, they agreed to go through the SHOT to have that experience. I wouldn't want it, but some people have. So, you know, so it's a tough thing because you know that they take it, they're not probably not going to make it. But we're all here for a purpose. We all chose to be here at this time. And many people within your family groups too are part of your soul family. And you've agreed to reincarnate as part of that. A lot of times, if your dad in a previous lifetime might've been your brother, or you might've been his father, or your mom might have been your sister. I mean, it all works around. And if you do a past life regression, you'll find that out. It's pretty amazing. It's like Shakespearean play. Yeah. Everyone has a different idea of what they like to do. And so that's what you have to do, is just to kind of roll with it. It's like a big play. We all have a bunch of different actors and actresses. And I guess that was fun about talking to the different actors and actresses earlier, because they all play these different roles. And they're still very much alive on the other side. I know I'll be talking to them again in the future here, and I'll have another show with them too. There's a lot more actors. I wasn't sure about the time and how long it would take, but there was more actors and actresses I could have talked to today. But
you know who anyway. I thought of?
No.
I was wondering about the Three Stooges, just for the funny guys.
Three Stooges. Well, yeah, they could come in. What is it, Larry?
Larry Moe and what's the funny guy? Oh my God!
Yeah, right. Yeah, there were three of them there.
Yeah. I just saw a picture of them too, and they had them there, and they were saying they were the January 6th committee.
What a bunch of nonsense, January 6th.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, a bunch of nonsense.
God, I can't believe I can't.
It'll come next time, show. We'll bring him in and talk to him. Well, I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported show. And if you'd like to support us, just go to the BBS website or to my website at outofthisworld1150.com and feel free to donate whatever you like. I also have a mentoring program where I teach people to look into the future and find the winning lotto numbers for next Monday. Just kidding. But I do teach time travel, among other things. And I want to tell everyone, we really do have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. Just hang in there and think positively about things, because I know good things are coming for all of us. So I want to thank Don and Doug for all their fantastic help. It's always a great pleasure to be here with them. And thank you so much for helping me make the world a better place. And thanks so much as well, Gail, for being here and joining me on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate being invited.
Thank you. Great. Okay. And thanks so much, Don. This is a beautiful water song written in commemoration of you. Bye-bye, everyone. Much love from you.